This is Gulf Coast Life. I'm Mike Canivery. Thanks for joining us. As we continue to collectively respond to the new coronavirus on today's show, we're going to talk about mental health counseling during a time of global pandemic. These are stressful times for everyone, but drastically changing routines and in many cases sudden unemployment translate to more people seeking help from mental health counselors. The rules around telecounseling have softened in order to make it easier for the counselor and the patient to connect. To learn more and talk about the role things like yoga and mindful breathing can play in one's mental state, I'm joined by Stacey Brown. She's founder and executive director of Stacey Brown and Associates Counseling and Wellness, and she's a licensed mental health counselor. Stacey, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Mike. I'm glad to be here.
And Valerie Olson is a licensed mental health counselor as well with Stacey Brown and Associates. Valerie, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having us.
This segment is pre-taped, but if you'd like to add your thoughts, find us on Facebook. We're at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU. Use the hashtag GCL. So for starters, just I'll start with you, Stacey. How are you doing in terms of just generally speaking? We're all going through something. How's it going for you?
Well, you know, it's a mixed question there, Mike, because the Stacey Brown, the person, is saying, oh, I'm pretty good. I love it. I may never leave my house again. I can wear my pajamas, I'm comfortable, I'm eating a lot of snacks, you know, all that's going well. But on the bigger picture, you know, this is not the ideal circumstances for hanging out at the house, and there's a lot of grief and sadness that I'm aware of. So, you know, it's a mixed bag, but we're healthy, and I'm grateful for that, and we've got enough supplies and toilet paper and food, and so we're really in an upper echelon of lucky, I think.
Valerie, what about you?
Yeah, we are doing okay here at our house as well, working from home and kind of navigating that. I will have to say the thing that I miss the most is seeing my grandchildren who live here in Fort Myers. We haven't been able to, we've decided to, you know, stay at home, and they are staying at home as well. And I think that's probably the hardest part for us.
So, Stacey, you know, in terms of the way your businesses have been changed, telecounseling is something that's happening now. Can you just flesh out how that works and whether it was something you did before, or is this something where they're broadening what's allowed?
Well, it's a little of all of those things. Back in March, around the 13th, I think that was our last day, where we saw patients at the office, and so I closed the office officially on the 13th. I had actually planned on taking a couple of days off that following week because it was spring break, and so my daughter who goes to FSU was going to be coming home, and her spring break was coinciding with the local school board, so we had big fun planned, but instead I closed the door and then took, you know, a few days to kind of put my head around the ethics and the administrative and confidential issues that surround telecounseling. So I had done some telecounseling already because several of my clients are transient. You know, they may have houses in other locations or they travel for work and that sort of thing. So I was already pretty comfortable talking with folks by phone, but because of the pandemic, there were, you know, a lot of other considerations that were more widespread. So the first few days were spent really trying to just get my head around how insurance companies were expanding services and whether they were going to reimburse for telecounseling, because some do and some don't or didn't. And what was interesting is there for about 5 days or so, there were changes every day coming in. And so we were really paying attention and just trying to understand. So some of the significant changes that were really important and I think well chosen were that the insurance companies were waiving some of the HIPAA compliance requirements. Previously, there were certain formats that were not allowed for telecounseling. For example, FaceTiming was not something that was approved of because there were some threats for confidentiality that, you know, they could be hacked somehow and that sort of thing. But with the pandemic and the huge number of people needing support services, those kinds of things have been waived and, you know, just hoping to rely on the medical provider's discretion to use good ethics and be aware of those things. But the benefit of using FaceTime is that the providers can use their cell phones, but mostly the doctors, you know, in the ER and that sort of thing. So it really opened up services to people in a big new way. Also, another amazing thing that happened shortly after we closed the office is that Aetna sent out a notice that they were now going to pay for Medicare services through telecounseling. So that opened up a whole other arena for our older population who were using Medicare. So I think that the insurance agencies, the medical community, they're all working together to just try to serve as many people as they can, and people are getting creative.
What percentage of people are you just talking to on the phone at this point versus video, you know, FaceTiming or chatting like that?
Well, you know, I don't know about Valerie, but for me, it's 100% telephone. Nobody wants to be seen on video, including teenagers. Probably nobody's bathing regularly, or everybody's just in their pajamas or whatever. But it's been a funny thing because I always offer, you know, we can do video conferencing or phone calling, and everyone chooses phone calling on my end.
What about you, Valerie?
Yeah, for me, it's about half and half. I have some people who prefer the phone, but then I have a few people that I'm using Skype with, and that's working out really well. I do have the kids tend to like FaceTime because, you know, they're so familiar with it. So that's what I've been using for kids.
Are these shorter sessions than they would have if they were coming into the office, or is it all about the same in terms of length of time spent together?
No, it's about the same.
It's the same. We have some compliance things. We have to offer a 50-minute session. That's how the billable hours roll. So people can request a longer session if need be, but typically it's a 50-minute hour.
Generally speaking, how are your existing patients responding to what's happening? This is a thing that none of us have ever experienced before. So what's the spectrum of response?
Valerie, you want to go first?
Sure. Well, my clients are really grateful that we can still continue with sessions because now there's new things to be dealing with and some anxieties and so forth coming up with being at home and working from home and so forth. So my clients are really grateful to have this ability to do the telesessions.
What are your thoughts, Stacey? Were your patients
I'm hearing the same sort of thing. You know, Mike, the thing is, everybody was leading their lives, right, before all of this shook down. And so if people were struggling with their work, they're still struggling with their work. That hasn't changed. It's just that the location has changed and there's some new complications. If people were having marital difficulties and were involved with couples counseling, they're still, you know, having those same core issues, and in fact, in some cases, the concerns or the issues are heightened because they're in closed quarters now together, and there's the pressures of family life and kids and being around each other 24/7 and working from home and all those things. So it's been very interesting to watch. On the other hand, some people who were addressing issues within their family, the change with the social distancing and being at home has caused some shuffling of their priorities. So some of the issues that we were addressing are now on the back burner. They're not as important because they're realizing some other things are more important. It's kind of all over the place, you know.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I don't know if you guys have patients who are parents, because we have parents who are suddenly homeschooling, some of which still have to go to work and some of which can't go to work. And those are two different sets of circumstances that a lot of people are working with right now, and that's got to be causing stress, right?
Well, everybody dealing with multiple levels of stress. Yeah, the parents, I read something earlier, and I can't remember the source now. I was just kind of scrolling around, and I saw an article that caught my eye, and it said, we need to check on the parents because they're not okay. The assumption is that, you know, several weeks have gone by, and they've kind of settled in and gotten the routines. And, well, yes, but also no, because parents have issues themselves, like anxieties and fears, and they're weary and worried and anxious and trying to work, as you mentioned. But keeping kids busy and contained is extra hard work. So even though we may have gotten used to or more accepting of the current circumstances, that doesn't necessarily mean that everybody's just zipping along and that it's going well. So I actually do work with a lot of working mothers who are had been trying to juggle it all, and now are juggling it all even more within the home because they don't get a break from the kids for focused time or for adult socialization time and that sort of thing. So the folks are getting weary.
Mm. Valerie, what about you with that, you know, parents and what they're working through?
Yeah, last week I listened to a podcast. The speaker was Gabor Maté. He's a Canadian physician, and he's also a speaker and an author. And what he recommended, which is what I would also recommend to parents, is if they feel their stress level, their frustration level rising at home, to communicate to the kids that they need to take a break. So, in other words, putting themselves in like a timeout, the parents themselves into timeout to cool down and to do some breathing. This is where our yoga and breathing practice can kind of intersect. But do some relaxation, some stretching, even if it's to walk outside, take a breath. And then come back and, you know, deal with the kids or what's happening with the kids.
In other words, don't be afraid to just be honest with your kids and say, I need to take a minute.
Correct.
Absolutely. Well, and this is just good functional, effective communication to begin with, right? But now that everybody has been on top of each other for 3 or 4 weeks, I think, you know, effective communication is certainly a critical need right now, and it's okay to tell people that you're getting frustrated or that you need some alone time. It's fine to do that. In fact, it's healthy to do that. So I like that idea, Val.
If you're just joining the show, we're exploring mental health counseling during a time of global pandemic. My guests are Stacey Brown and Valerie Olson. They're both licensed mental health counselors in Fort Myers with decades of experience. To engage with us and your fellow listeners about this topic or any of our shows, find us on Facebook at WGCU Public Media or on Twitter. We're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So, Matt, Valerie, you just mentioned, I know you both are practitioners and advocates for yoga and meditation, things like mindfulness, mindful breathing. Talk some about, Stacey, start with you. Talk to him about how that can play into people's mental well-being, perhaps especially so now. And are people more receptive to this right now? Because we're in a time of great change where people are making decisions to try new things in ways that aren't normal. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The way that Valerie and I both operate, I believe, we have this shared experience with each other, and that we're both yoga teachers and meditators, and so we can't help but integrate that practice into our counseling. And so we always are teaching people how to breathe, how to release stress through the breath, how to use specific breathing techniques for relaxation or for invigoration or whatever the case is, right? So then this is from our traditions in yoga and meditation, but it's interesting because now, especially since we're all going through this, it's a global trauma. We're all experiencing it. And so one of the things that I'm realizing is that everyone right now is in that fight, flight, or freeze response. There's a range, you know, from 1 to 10, say. So everybody's kind of on simmer, like a 1 or a 2, depending on the situation, simply because we're all in this together. So neurologically speaking, when a threat is present, our neurological system signals all the hormones and the muscles and the tissues to go into what's called fight, flight, or freeze response. And that just gets us ready to fight, to run, or to be still and hide so that we can face a threat, right? So we're all experiencing this, but the problem, as I'm starting to formulate it myself, is that the coronavirus is kind of an invisible dragon that we're all trying to fight. So we can't see it. We're just hearing news about it. We know that it's big and scary, and it could literally kill you, and we're trying to protect ourselves. And so just because of that, everybody needs the breathing and the stress management skills right now, just so that we can function properly with our digestion, with our sleep, with our ability to focus and make decisions and be clear with our thinking. So with people who maybe had pre-existing anxiety, you know, absolutely this is the breathing techniques and the stretching is so helpful. Now with this heightened alert system in place because of this pandemic and the collective trauma that we're all experiencing, the need for that breath work is even more important. So what in my clients that I'm working with, what I'm hearing is sleep difficulties, people waking up in the middle of the night worrying. The cleaning is really a big deal right now. A lot of anxiety around making sure things are as clean as possible and keeping kids collected and close to home. Several of us know people who have either contracted coronavirus or who have died, so the threat is coming closer to our homes. And so that just keeps everything activated. So the relaxation breathing is critically important, because the deeper you can pull your breath down into your lungs, the more of a relaxation response is triggered. It's just a brain-body connection, and it's pretty awesome. There's a lot of great information online people can read and understand just basically how our brain and our body and our neurological system functions. And there are really some very practical, easy tips that are available to help people to regulate their own emotional response to all of this. So, yes, we're teaching a lot of that when we're talking to folks.
Valerie, do you think people are more open to doing things like yoga? Because it may be something that you thought, I don't want to do that. But now you're like, I want to pick up a new hobby. Maybe yoga would be a good place to start.
Yeah, I mean, and there's so much online right now, too, as far as yoga teachers offering their classes either for free, for instance, on Facebook Live or YouTube, and also donation-based classes on Zoom. So there's a lot of that opportunity to practice at home, and meditation and so forth. So I was just going to add to what Stacey said also about the breath is I teach people to focus on their exhale. So the exhale, if you can lengthen the exhale, that will help the body, the physiology, the mind, be able to move into the state of relaxation to help to mitigate the effects of the fight or flight. So that is one really helpful thing that anybody can do.
Mike, I got to tell you, somebody the other day that I was having a conversation with just made me laugh. And I said, I'm not sure that you're breathing correctly to help you to really trigger that relaxation response. And she said, I am breathing. I'm like, I don't think that's really what we were talking about.
You know, I've seen YouTube channels where people do yoga routines that you can follow along to. And I was going to ask if there's any live ones, but I think Valerie mentioned that there are people doing live ones. What about like the mindfulness and the mindful breathing? I would think, would there be an app for that where you get like a little reminder or something that says, now you should take 2 minutes to, you know, are there apps for that? It seems like there might be.
Yeah, there are apps.
Of course. Yes.
Yeah, Calm is one app, and another one is Insight Timer. Stacey, you may know some others
If you have an app, if you have an Apple phone, you can literally have the breathe reminder pop up at certain intervals during the day. And Siri is our friend, of course. We can just say, hey, Siri, remind me to breathe every hour. You know, and it's a funny thing. My kids tease me about that. But you don't need an app to teach you how to breathe. You already know how to breathe. You just have to use your breath in a mindful way, right? So we're all walking around breathing, Mike, but the thing about it is we're all breathing in the upper lobes of our lungs, and the more anxious we are, the more significant that is. So if you can just sit very peacefully and calmly and just take 3 deep breaths and pull the breath down past your sternum and down into the lower rib cage area and really inflate your lungs, and just do that 3 times. You know, you can just sit in your living room and put one hand on your belly and one hand on your chest and just feel your chest expanding and lowering, you know, as the rib cage contracts and expands. And just doing that alone will help your blood pressure to drop. It'll slow your heart rate down. It'll help your mind to focus. And that's really the key, is to connect the breath to your mind. Our minds are zippy and running around all over the place and very distracted right now. So if you can just focus on your breath just 3 times, just train your brain to focus just on the inhale and on the exhale, there will be a remarkable change in your demeanor, in the way you feel, in the clarity of your thought process. And then, of course, you can expand upon that and move more into you know, more expanded meditation as you get used to it. But I think that's part of the difficulty with getting people to be willing to engage in mindfulness practice or meditation or yoga, is that they think they have to have on certain pants and they've got to be able to do certain postures and bending over and doing things. And you really don't have to. You can just start with your breath and then move from there. And it really makes a huge difference.
We've only got a couple minutes left in the show, but I just want to get you to reflect on working from home. Start with you, Valerie. What is it like working from home? You know, doing your job via a phone call or a Facebook or a FaceTime?
Well, I'm really enjoying it, actually. I think the people that I'm working with also, especially the people where I'm using Skype with, there's like a little window into each of our lives, you know. I've met people's cats now and their pets. I feel like there's lots of opportunity for good work, even in this setup that we have going, the telesessions.
Stacey, what about you?
Yeah, I working from home is just fine for me. I'm very comfortable here. I love my office, and it's definitely a healing place, but I have lots of windows in my home, so I'm pretty comfortable and happy. I can watch the Blue Jays and talk to people, and it's really been a pretty smooth adjustment for me. And I think that the clients are pretty comfortable as well, because they're in their home looking out their windows as well. So the connectivity is still there. So telecounseling can still be incredibly helpful and very healing. It's all about the conversation and the intention that you put out there for connecting with folks.
Have you taken up any new hobbies during self-isolation?
No, not any new ones, but I have had a wonderful time revisiting some old ones.
Okay.
So I am painting and sewing and doing all kinds of things.
Valerie, what about you?
Well, I've actually had more time to take care of myself, which is kind of nice. I've found a yoga class, or it's kind of a breathing and short yoga class that I've done that's offered every morning on Facebook Live. So I've been doing that, having more time to walk and actually cook my meals at home and, eat really healthy. So, I mean, there's that kind of silver lining with all of this.
Well, that is all the time we have for today's show. I want to thank my guests. Valerie Olson is a licensed mental health counselor with Stacey Brown & Associates in Fort Myers. Valerie, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
And Stacey Brown is founder and executive director of Stacey Brown & Associates Counseling and Wellness. She's a licensed mental health counselor as well. Stacey, thanks for your time.
Oh, thank you so much for paying attention to this topic.
And if you missed any of today's show, you can always hear episodes in their entirety on our website, wgcu.org/GCL, or you can subscribe to our podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts. Our show today was produced by yours truly. Our director is Richard Chinqui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Mike Kinnairy. This is WGCU-FM, Fort Myers, 90.1, WMKO Marco Island, 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.